Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Grizzlies for this Friday, and it is time for part two of the Q&A. You guys threw out a lot of great questions, and I'm going to throw out a few answers to those questions as we continue with the offseason. Next week, we will get started with some player evaluation, and we'll kind of do it on a day-to-day basis, probably take one player per day over the next 3 weeks or so. And if you have any comments, I might be able to probably going to like throw out a little something on the Twitter at Peter Edmiston when we start this, so that you can throw in your thoughts on some of the players. Yeah, some of them will be longer than others. You know, the discussion of Wayne Seldon is probably not going to be quite as in-depth as the discussion of Marc Gasol, for example, but you know, we'll get into that kind of stuff. So be prepared. Think about some of the things that you'd want to throw out there. Any feedback or any kind of a comment on those players would be most appreciated. And I'll give you a heads up on when we're going to get started and who's coming up and what the schedule is, so that you'll know and you'll be able to contribute. You guys always, always contribute really well. I appreciate it. And like, for example, what we're doing today, you know, as we continue, I got so many good questions. You know, yesterday, if you missed part one, don't fret. It's in your podcast manager. If you have not subscribed to the pod, I don't really hammer on this very much, because I'm not, that's just not how I roll. But listen, if you've not subscribed to the pod and you listen to it on even a little bit of a regular basis, please do. It helps tremendously. It makes a lot easier for me to be able to know how many folks are out there, who's listening, what you like, all that kind of stuff is great. Ratings are cool too. If you can give me good reviews, that's awesome. I know that takes a little bit of time, and you know, if you don't do it, no big deal. But I would appreciate it if you really like it, because it helps folks to find out about the pod, which is always a big thing for us. So please, please do all that stuff, all of it. Okay, you have to do all of it. Do some of it, or none of it, really. What can I do? You're all grown-ups out there. But I would appreciate it, so thank you very much. Now let's get back to the Q&A. And as I said, part one, you can listen to get yourself caught up. But we begin part two with a question from Rob Stukenborg, who is at StukyX2, who says, is there any belief within the organization that Jarrell Martin could produce to some extent in place of Jermichael Green to make sure to say that the Grizzlies don't necessarily have to pay Jermichael Green? Rob, I would say, you know, without speaking directly for any and everyone in the organization, I would say the answer is mostly no. There doesn't appear to be a tremendous amount of faith in Jarrell Martin based on what we've seen from him so far. And we'll talk more about him in the player evaluation stuff, but based on what we've seen from Jarrell Martin at the NBA level, I don't really know what position you're gonna play him at on a regular basis. I mean, he would probably be a four, but he's not a guy that can work inside physically enough, I think, to be one of those kinds of fours, and he's certainly not a stretch four, a guy that's knocking down a whole bunch of shots. He's very athletic, so you could kind of see him as a 3-4 combo, but again, I don't think he has the mobility and the capability to guard at the three. So, you know, all that just kind of leads you to sort of a position of like, I don't know what it is that he does for you. And, you know, he's been around for long enough now that it just does not appear that there's much for him to do. I just I don't see it. I think there was some hope, but I certainly don't see it, and I don't think there's a lot of faith within the organization. I, certainly not that, that you're going to use him in place of Jermichael Green. I think that would be asking an awful lot. So I don't know what the future holds for Jarrell Martin, but I don't expect much. I'd put it that way. Steve Metaxas at Tiger 92865 writes, if Brandon Wright was traded for draft picks, what do you think he could get Grizzlies in regards to that kind of a trade? You know, Brandon Wright, for those of you that don't know, Brandon has not been thrilled with how things have gone. He was pretty unhappy in coming back and the minutes kind of fluctuating. Yeah, the fact that there wasn't a lot of consistency, in his minutes and what he was doing, I think that irritated him to some extent. I don't think he was real thrilled about that. He didn't make it a big issue behind the scenes. It wasn't like he was, a locker room problem or anything like that. But you knew, and those of us that were around the team, you knew that he wasn't, exactly stoked about how things were going. And then at the postseason media day, he didn't make a trade request or anything like that, but he definitely made it clear that he wanted more clarity about his future, about his position, about what it is that he's going to be doing, what they're going to ask him to do, all that stuff. Just wants minutes, and I get that. He's in the middle of his career. He wants to play. So I don't think there's any surprise there, and I don't think there's any problem with him expressing that. I do think that, given the position that he finds himself in, the fact that the league is going to go, smaller and smaller, even for guys like him that are athletic bigs but not guys that can space the floor, the spots are limited. They're limited spots now. Every adjustment seems to be going smaller in the NBA. Everything that you see is smaller. There's not a lot of teams going bigger. So there's fewer and fewer spots out there for bigs. Which means that's true of the Grizzlies as well. And of course, the Grizzlies are, one of the teams that's most friendly towards bigs, at least historically. So if you can't find a consistent spot for Brandon Wright, then I don't know where else, he's going to go. But that said, I do think that the guy has some value, given his age, a contract that's very friendly, even if he's only got 1 year left. The number is very friendly for teams. It'll be well under the mid-level exception this year, and that has some appeal. I think you could trade Brandon Wright. Now, as far as picks, I don't think you're getting a first-round pick for Brandon Wright. I just don't think you're getting a first for him. I think you could get a couple seconds, probably. You could get some kind of, maybe... I don't know. Maybe late first, maybe, but I really don't think so. I think the market, the climate right now for first round picks, it's this draft especially. It's a deep draft. There are a lot of teams that like a lot of these players in the draft, and so I don't think you're getting a first for Brandon Wright. I don't think you're getting a first for a lot of bigs out there. I think Mark is the only guy on the team that would be able to give you like a first or in a deal like that. They just don't. You look around the trade deadline and stuff. There just weren't tons of firsts that were thrown out there. They are there. It's harder and harder for teams to justify getting rid of those picks. Those picks are really valuable, particularly now in the new collective bargaining agreement, because of the nature of the contract, because of the nature of the team control. If you get a good draft pick, you've got a very reasonable contract for the first 4 years. Then you've got restricted free agency and the opportunity, if they're really good, to lock them up for 5 years at a certainly a high cost, but you have the control over all that. Teams really value that greatly. They don't like to give that up, those opportunities. When you blow that pick, and as the Grizzlies well know, when you blow first-round picks, not only do you miss out on the chance for talent, but you miss out on the chance for control. in controlling your roster, controlling your cost, being able to be predictable and all that stuff. Giving that up is not easy. And I don't think Brandon Wright, as talented as he is enough by himself to be able to give you that kind of a pick. But I think they'll certainly be open to those discussions for Brandon Wright and maybe even trading him for some combination. I don't know about a second round pick necessarily, but I mean maybe some sort of pick combination or some bigger deal that you could involve him in that would get you somewhere. I think they would be open to that given the way the roster is going to play out. Brian Hunsucker at Hunsucker4 asks, considering the Blazers cap and near full roster next year, can trading next year's second round picks and cash buy a first round pick or two from them? I would say no, I don't think so. The opportunity the Grizzlies have for next year's second round picks, you know, that they could operate and they could trade those to potentially move up into this draft. I think that would be the opportunity there. But I don't think that you're going to be able to combine that with cash or anything else to get one of the firsts from the Blazers. And they have, of course, the Grizzlies pick in addition to Cleveland's first-round pick in their own. So they do have those pick opportunities. I suspect that they will execute those and deal with it as needed. You know, they certainly have guys that, you know, you're going to see, like, for example, coming up, lots of these guys are going to be free agents, restricted free agents. You know, Festus Ezeli's not coming back. You know that for sure. You know, Pat Connaughton probably not coming back. You have restricted free agents like Napier and Quarterman. And yeah, I think they could certainly find their way into using and finding roster spots. So I don't think there's a lot of pressure on them necessarily to move those picks as needed. And of course you can always draft a stash guy. There's not as many of those in this draft, but you can always do that with that last pick, especially from Cleveland. That's going to be very late. That's a perfect stash spot. So, you know, take that and stash a guy for a year or two and save yourself the roster spot. So all those things are a possibility. I would say that they're probably not. You know, in cash, the value of that is much more limited now that most teams are pretty flush with cash. Yeah, that's just not as appealing as it used to be. So you don't see a lot of first round picks sold. You don't even see that many second round picks sold anymore, and the price on those has gone up quite a bit. So all in all, I would say again, unlikely to be able to parlay those seconds into first in any way, even with a little bit of cash. And just to kind of clarify for people that need to know, the Grizzlies pick situation, of course, they're giving up the first-round draft pick this year, goes to Portland, as we mentioned. Second-round draft pick this year is Denver via a trade that was made back in 2014. That was the Jeff Green trade, I believe, was the one that ended up sending that to Denver. And then, of course, another future first for the Grizzlies goes to Boston as that Jeff Green deal. That pick is protected 1 through 8 in 2019, 1 through 6 in 2020, and then unprotected in 2021. So the Grizzlies are down another first-round pick after this year. They are getting second-round picks, and those are the ones that Brian was referring to. Of course, they'll have their own second-round pick next year, in addition to Charlotte's second-round draft pick and Miami's second-round draft pick as well. They'll also get a second-rounder from Boston that has... it's heavily protected, and so probably won't get that one, but it's a slight possibility that they would get that one. They do have Brooklyn's second-round draft pick in 2019, which, I mean, could be a pretty good second, although by that point, Brooklyn probably will be decent, you would think, maybe. They don't really have near very many picks, so maybe not. They may not be decent by then. They may still end up being in a pretty good second-round pick. So that's the pick status for the Grizzlies, just as a little bonus to that question already. Vic at VGood and 40 says, in the unlikely scenario that the front office chooses not to sign Zach Randolph, Tony Allen, Michael Green, and Vince Carter, so nobody, 0-4, that is very unlikely, Vic, I agree. But in that scenario, Vic asks, what free agent targets could the Grizzlies chase that would improve the team? Well, this is part of the thing and reason why that they'll certainly be very interested in bringing those guys back, because you're not going to have that much money. You know, even if you don't bring those guys back, you're still looking at presumably, you know, if you're going to sign the second round pick, and they've said that they're going to sign, you know, Roddy Zagorats to a deal, they're going to bring him over this offseason. That coupled with what the expense that you're already dealing with, you're looking at a payroll of $93 million or so, and a cap number of 101. So you've got about $8 million under the cap to spend, which is basically mid-level money, and you don't even really you don't have access to mid-level exception when you are under the cap. You use your cap space. It's not a huge chunk. It's not like you're getting impact guys with that kind of money. The truth is they spent that money on Chandler Parsons, and so that money was spent last offseason. I mean, there are guys out there certainly that you would be able to sign. You know, there are plenty of free agents in lots of different ways. I mean, you know, you're talking about positions that the Grizzlies would be looking to improve upon. Wing spots. I think if you're looking for shooting, you know, there are certainly guys out there that would, you know, fill that role. If you're looking for unrestricted free agents that are in that neighborhood, yeah, it's probably going to be easier to kind of sort through it once we get closer to time. But I mean, if you just look at the list of unrestricted shooting guards, and you're not getting like a JJ Redick or anybody like that, but I mean, like, there's some people talk about Ian Clark, you know, coming out from Golden State, who's going to be unrestricted, and there's going to be some real financial pressure on Golden State once they sign Steph Curry to the big deal that's coming his way. A guy like that would be an interesting play, longer term, a little bit of a younger guy. He's 26. The likes of like an Omri Caspi is an unrestricted free agent that you could look for. I think PJ Tucker is probably a little out of that price range, but guys like that you're looking for. You also have backup point guard opportunities, you know, that are out there as well. So check back in, Vic, closer to time for a better list of free agents and to get a better feel for exactly who's going to be available and what the price range kind of settles into with some of these guys. But there would be guys out there. I just don't know how much impact you're going to be able to have at the price range that you have. You just don't have a bunch of money. The thought from some people when you think about not bringing back guys or not signing guys, and the Clippers are kind of in the same boat too with, you know, Chris Paul and Blake Griffin, J.J. Redick and all those guys. It's not as if you don't bring those guys back and you've got that money to spend somewhere else. You just don't. You have bird rights on these guys. You can go over the cap and sign these guys. You know, that's a valuable thing that you have as a team that retains bird rights. Bird rights are very important for a team. And the opportunity to use those gives you, you know, more flexibility when it comes to your own guys. But because of that flexibility, if you don't bring back your own guys, then you lose it and you don't have it. And you don't have it with regard to other free agents, you know, some other team's free agent. You don't have that same flexibility. So the Grizzlies they're not sitting on a big pile of money if they don't bring those guys back. I mean, they just don't pay them, but they don't get it to spend somewhere else. So there you go. And kind of a similar answer to the question, JRY901 says, are there any free agent point guards out there that the Grizzlies could possibly go after to back up Conley? Yeah, I mean, absolutely. There are plenty of guys out there. If you want to dip back into the well, I like, you know, Darren Collison. I think he's a good point guard. Shelvin Mack is out there. I don't know what Utah is going to do, you know, with him. I think, you know, I don't know if you're into the Raymond Felton. I'm not, but he's out there. Patty Mills is probably going to be out of the price range, I would imagine. But he's out there. If you are a fan of Ty Lawson's work, then you could look to him. There's plenty of veteran point guards that are out there. The question is going to be simply, do the Grizzlies decide that that's an area that they want to actually spend whatever resources they're going to spend in free agency? Are they going to spend them there? I am not so sure, but I think a lot of that depends, again, on how confident they are in the development of Wade Baldwin, who they still like long-term and still see a lot in long-term, and Andrew Harrison, same kind of thing. I mean, he did an okay job, all things considered. He probably reached about the heights of what you could reasonably expect him to reach. That's not saying a lot, and that didn't really help the team, but they put him in that position, and I think you can't blame Andrew Harrison for being put in that position. I do hope they prioritize an improvement there one way or the other. They need to. I just don't know that they will. Desmond at D_Jax89 asks, who do you anticipate being our starting shooting guard next season? Is that player even on the roster today? Also, who should we target using the mid-level exception? We kind of talked about the mid-level question a little bit earlier, Desmond, so I'm going to hold back on that one until we get closer to time, and then we'll really delve into it probably middle of June around the finals, that kind of thing. We'll really delve into some of those questions about specifics and free agents and get into lists and all that good stuff. Now, as far as the starting shooting guard next season, boy, you know, it's a very interesting question about how they're going to actually kind of let this thing play out and how this thing is going to go. Because, you know, if Tony Allen is retained, I still don't think that you're looking at necessarily the best approach in bringing him back as the starter. Yeah, I think ideally, you know, Tony at this stage of his career is best served as a spark plug guy. He played more minutes really this year than he's played in a while. And, you know, his value is, it fluctuates, but you can certainly have too much of him. I don't know that player is on the roster, Desmond. You know, right now, I think you could make a case if Wayne Selden were to have a huge summer, then, you know, that would be a guy that they would at least kind of be willing to work with, given what he showed kind of in the postseason. I don't think that's an ideal approach, but I think that's possible. I think it's possible that Vince Carter could play a little bit there along with Chandler Parsons, depending on how Chandler Parsons goes and how comfortable David Fizdale is when he wants to go big, because he's talked a lot about going with some bigger, longer lineups. That would be one. I don't think that's going to be the case, but that's a small possibility. James Ennis, in a similar way, is a possibility there. But I think there's a decent chance that player is not on the team at this point. I don't think that Roddy Zagorats is going to slide into the rotation right away. He might, but you can't really project that. So at this point in time, I don't know that player's on the roster. So that's a good question. I think, yeah, that's one that you're going to have to wait through summer league, but really through camp in the fall to get a feel for, you know, what the team looks like at that point, who they've signed, how Chandler Parsons' recovery is going, all that stuff before we really get a good feel for that position and exactly how that's going to go. Brent Patberg at WeFixPets asks the question. Says, love Mark, but he's too analytical. Just play. Hate to say it, but let's trade him. What could we get? He could be, could he be the Herschel Walker of the Grizzlies? Of course, the Cowboys trading Herschel Walker to the Vikings and getting an absolute truckload of picks and all that stuff. No. The answer is no. He could, he would not be the Herschel Walker of the Grizzlies. But if you were to trade Mark, going into that mode, and there are lots of people that are probably better at that whole hypothetical, you know, what could you get game than I am. I do think that Mark has plenty of value. 3 years left, 32, but he's proven that he's healthy this year. He's a full year plus removed from that foot surgery. Everything seems to have gone well. He's shown now improved outside shooting. You know, all those things. He's slipped a little bit defensively, but you know, still a terrific passer, terrific scorer when he wants to be. And if you are a team that's looking to kind of get a piece to put you over the top, then it would make some sense, you know, to make that move. You know, would Boston be willing to give up a couple of picks for him, or a good pick and a good young prospect? Maybe that's the kind of structure of the deal that you'd look for. I think with Mark, you would be able to get a good first round pick and probably one other good asset. The issue then, of course, is, you know, how do you make up the money? Because the money would be, you know, a bit of an issue. You're going to have to get money to match that deal. It also depends, of course, on where the Grizzlies are going to go with that trade. If they're trading Mark to rebuild, then you could probably get, you know, multiple young assets from a team like Boston, for example. You know, or if you're trading him to try to more retool, then, you know, that changes the dynamic of what you're actually going to end up getting. But bear in mind what Boogie Cousins got. You know, what was the actual trade for Boogie Cousins? I mean, you got, you know, Buddy Hield, who is a good, solid young player, not likely to become a superstar, but a good, very good, solid, you know, rotation-type player. He projects to be an above-average shooter, certainly a guy that could be a starter in the league for a long time, if not necessarily a star. And they got a pick out of that, which will end up being, in all likelihood, like a late lottery pick, 12, 13, 14, in that neighborhood. You know, that's the gist of what they got for Boogie Cousins. Boogie Cousins, much younger, more of a prolific scorer and rebounder, certainly, than Mark. Not nearly the defender, much worse locker room presence, et cetera, but, you know, Boogie is a legit all-star, superstar type guy, and that's what you got for him. So you're not getting more than that for Mark. You're probably not even getting that for Mark. The market, you know, it may have been chilled by Boogie being Boogie and by Boogie having his own personal issues and, you know, attitude problems and whatever, but he's still an incredible talent. So the fact that that's what they got, you know, the league is going away from centers. So I think that also diminishes the market a little bit too. All in all, I think you could trade Mark. I just don't know that you're going to get the kind of return in that deal that would make such a dramatic move worth it, unless it was an absolute must move. You know, must trade if the rift that he and David Fizdale have had, if that were to get more serious, then, you know, maybe you'd be in a situation where you'd be forced to. I think that there would be very little return that would be real satisfactory for folks to go through, you know, that process of trading him. So I think it's unlikely that you see something like that. That's probably what I would expect for that kind of a return. As always, thank you guys so much for all of the questions. Great, great stuff again from all of you. Hopefully you enjoyed the Q's, and more importantly, hope you enjoyed the A's. So we'll do it again coming up very, very soon. As I mentioned, player evaluations will get underway shortly here on Locked On Grizzlies. Big thanks to GrizzEssentials.com/LOGrizzlies for their continued support of the pod. Mark and Courtney and the folks at Grizz Essentials do an absolutely fabulous job. Please go to their site, check it out, get those boxes, get that started. If you're a Grizzly fan, you're going to love it. GrizzEssentials.com/LOGrizzlies. You're really going to have a great time with the folks at Grizz Essentials. Hope you had a great time with the pod. Have a great weekend as well. Enjoy your Cinco de Mayo, and we'll come back at you on Monday with another edition of Locked On Grizzlies.